You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to episode number 269 of Locked On Raptors for Tuesday, January 30th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of LockedOnRaptors.com and RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter at WoodleySean, and the show is on Twitter as well at Locked On Raptors. You can find links to every single episode. Of course, Locked On Raptors is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, which hosts team-focused shows for all 30 NBA teams, as well as Locked On Fantasy with Josh Lloyd and Locked On NBA with David Locke. And those are all together on the Locked On NBA iTunes channel. Make sure you're also checking out the Locked On NFL shows, both for Locked On Eagles and Locked On Patriots, leading up to the Super Bowl. They're doing fantastic work, so make sure you subscribe to those shows, check them out, and listen to all the preview you need for the big game on Sunday. Around the NBA, lots of stuff to check out as well. Locked On Clippers and Locked On Pistons are going to have all the reaction you need for the Blake Griffin trade. Pretty wild stuff, I gotta say. From a Raptors perspective, I'm not really sure it matters all that much. I think the Raptors are totally fine within the East. I think I don't think the Pistons are any scarier than they used to be. They're very thin right now. Behind Drummond and Blake, it's not much on that roster. It's pretty bereft of talent. And I don't think that should be any sort of team that people are fear-mongering for in the playoffs. The Wizards, potentially, with John Wall being hurt, maybe they fall down to the 7 or 8 seed, and that gets scary for the first round. But again, the Wizards are so incomplete. They're so just sort of wishy-washy this season that I'm not too scared. The confidence from me is terrifying. But I'm just not sure. Any of those Eastern Conference teams, aside from Milwaukee, who were probably going to be like the 4 or 5 seed, I don't think they're all that scary. So that's my little rant on that. You can check out Locked On Clippers and Locked On Pistons for all the reaction you need there, and I'm sure David will have something on Locked On NBA as well talking about that trade, because it's freaking wild that trade just happened out of nowhere yesterday. While you're checking out Locked On Pistons and Locked On Clippers, make sure you're also finding Locked On Raptors on iTunes. Leaving a rating and a review helps, makes us more popular, moves us up the rankings, it strokes my ego, all that good stuff. So please do that. It takes no time at all, and I would very much appreciate you joining the ranks of people who have left a little rating. It doesn't take very much, and it's very lovely, and I'm forever indebted to those who have done it. All right, fun show today. On today's show, I'm joined by Arkell's frontman, Max Kerman, who is a really big Raptors fan and just a big basketball fan in general. We talked about sort of his origins as a fan, how he came to meet Glenn Grunwald through a school project where he just kind of showed a lot of balls and ended up meeting Glenn Grunwald at a game. It's a pretty cool story of sort of young fandom and all that stuff. He played in a charity game over the summer with Nick Stauskas. We talked about his playing style. We talked about how he maintains his fandom as a fan overseas, you know, when he's traveling all over the place with the Arkells, who are just incredibly successful at this point. Lots of good stuff with Max. He's a really great dude, and also from my new hometown of Hamilton. So shouts to Hamilton, Ontario. So I hope you enjoy this conversation with Max. I'm going to have another podcast tomorrow morning. I'll probably record one after the game tonight from the ACC as the Raptors play the T-Wolves. I'll have that up in the morning, most likely. I'll write for Raptors HQ off the game as well. And you can find that tomorrow on RaptorsHQ.com, of course. LockedOnRaptors.com, our new writers are starting to churn out some content. I believe Jordan Tamayama is going to have the recap for tonight's game against the Wolves. Lots of different stuff coming up from those guys, LeBron, Jordan, and Zach, who are part of the staff now, and looking forward to having them churn out some stuff over the next little while here. I'll start getting stuff back on the site soon as well. Just kind of was in a writing rut this month and busy with other stuff. I will get back in the writing groove, I promise each and every one of you that I will do that, because I love you all and I want to give you content and I like doing it, and I apologize for being a lazy bastard this last month. Anyway, here's a conversation with the guy who is anything but lazy. Again, Arkell's frontman, Max Kerman. Hope you enjoy the conversation, and we will talk to you tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Raptors. Cheers. All right, joining me now on Locked On Raptors, Arkell's frontman, top 3 celebrity Raptors fan at this point, behind like Drake and 12-year-old Kevin Durant. It's Max Kerman. How's it going, man?
Oh, that's pretty good. I would have put a few more celebrities in front of me, but I'll take number 3. Thank you.
I can't think of any others off the top of my head, so I'll slot you in there. And I'm really happy to have you on, man. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, I don't know, I'm always fascinated by fan origin stories, and with the Raptors it's interesting because there's a huge gap in the mid-2000s where I can't imagine they were like roping in a whole lot of new fans. So there kind of is at this point like two kind of sweet spots where it's like the Vince Carter days, if you were sort of an aware fan at that time, and then this recent sort of We the North era, where people kind of get, you know, latched onto the team. And I'm guessing you're a Vince Carter era guy. Like, can you take me back to maybe your first moment where you knew you were a Raptors fan, like the first kind of hook that sunk into you?
Yeah, well, it actually starts before that, because I would have been 9 in 1995.
Okay.
And big sports fan. My dad is a big sports fan. I grew up playing a lot of baseball, a lot of basketball. So when Damon Stoudemire was drafted by the Raptors and Isaiah Thomas was part of the team, it was a really big deal for me. And I had a Damon Stoudemire jersey. We went down to the Sky Dome to watch games. Like those early teams, you know, I still remember a lot of the guys, you know, John Sally, Alvin Robertson, Tracy Murray. I remember actually one time going down to HMV on Yonge Street, and for some reason they were hosting a Tracy Murray autograph signing, and I went to that. So I love Mighty Mouse. You know, I thought he was such a special player, and I remember, you know, reading the Toronto Star as a nine-year-old and checking the rookie-to-rookie matchup between him and Jerry Stackhouse to see who was going to win the Rookie of the Year.
Right.
So I was really obsessed from an early age. Then, of course, when Vince was drafted, it got to another level, and I was really lucky. My dad signed me up for the Vince Carter basketball camp, which was held around the corner at the U of T campus, and Vince showed up on the last day. And, you know, my first email address was vince_kerman@hotmail.com. So, yeah, you know, I've loved watching the Raptors, and I played in elementary school. I went to I played basketball in high school, too. Our team wasn't particularly good, but it gave me a lot of playing time, which I was thankful for.
You mentioned Damon Stoudemire, and I actually wrote about the Stoudemire trade a little bit like a month or two ago, and how the Raptors just totally got fleeced in that deal. You know, they gave up Walt Williams, who was one of the more popular players at the time. Kenny Anderson didn't even come to Toronto after that took place. And then Darryl Walker just quit on the spot. Do you, like, I imagine, so 95, you're 9, I guess you're like 11, 12 when that deal happens. I think that's probably comparable to, I was like 12 or 13 when the Vince Carter trade happened, and I remember that being just like a flooring, terrible moment for me. Was that kind of the same for you? Like, how do you recall what your reaction to the Damon trade was?
I remember being very sad, but I think I also understood why did it happen? I forget why. Like, did he just want out of Toronto? Was that basically what it was?
He was going to be a free agent. He wasn't happy with, like, the direction of the team. He was pissed off that Isaiah Thomas was gone, and it didn't seem like he was a free agent, so they didn't really think he was going to come back.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I remember thinking that I was happy that he was going home to Portland, because I read a lot about Damon Stoudemire and his, like, upbringing and all that stuff. So I remember being stoked for him. And then, you know, those Portland teams did really well in the early 90s, sorry, in the late 90s and early 2000s. So I remember really liking watching those teams. I know they turned into the Jailblazers eventually, but the first few years, you know, when Pippen was on the team, and those Trailblazers teams were really exciting to watch. But I'm sure I was devastated also.
Yeah. You should read, there's a piece that came out like last week written by Corbin Smith in Willamette Week. It's like a weekly paper out in Washington. It's like about the Reefer Madness Jailblazers. You should check it out. It's really great.
Cool.
Damon's a big part of it.
Yeah.
I have some intel from Arkell's bassist Nick Dyka that when you were younger, you did a school project about Glenn Grunwald and somehow parlayed that into like a meet and greet with him. Can you tell me how this all came together?
Yeah, so I had to do a project on somebody in my community that I looked up to.
Okay.
Or had an interesting job. I would have been 99, probably, 98, 99, so I would have been 12. And I just called the Raptors front office, and their number must have been in the phone book, because I don't know how else I would have found it. And the secretary answered, and I said, "Can I please speak to Mr. Grunwald?" And then they just connected me right through. And I explained what I need to do, and he said, "Okay, let's set up a time." And I ended up calling him on the road. I think he was on the road with the team in Charlotte,
okay.
I want to say. And I had like a 15-minute interview with him. And then we arranged, I think, with my dad to go down to the ACC. It was just brand new at the time, because my dad had got tickets for my birthday. And we were able to see the dressing room and go to the practice court and just hang out with Glenn Grunwald. And so it was such a cool experience. I have photos, and I could send you one, actually, of me wearing my Vince Carter jersey and hanging out with Glenn Grunwald. But you know, looking back, that sort of gall as a 12-year-old just to pick up the phone and call the general manager of the Toronto Raptors, I think has helped the band, because you have to be kind of a fearless idiot to be in a rock and roll band. Just anything's going to go well, because the chances of success in this business is pretty small. So I think my my attitude that everything will work out has generally served us well, and it got me the interview with Ben Grunwald.
To any 12-year-old listening to the podcast right now, I'm not sure you can get Masai on the horn that easily nowadays. Maybe. Masai is a great dude. Maybe he is that open, but that's incredible. And I guess it's cool now that Glenn Grunwald is the AD at McMaster now too. Like, you're the hometown that you guys have adopted. It's pretty. That's pretty awesome.
It's cool. We've been in touch since, and actually, not to get off track, but
yeah,
we've sort of become pals with Ron Foxcroft, the Fox 40 whistle man.
Okay.
And he and Glenn Grunwald are like neighbors and best pals. So we've had it's all kind of come full circle.
Oh, awesome. I want to ask you just kind of how you maintain your fandom, because obviously you guys are intensely successful now and you guys tour overseas, you're all over the place. How do you sort of keep up with the Raptors? I know you did a podcast last year with Mike on Much, with Zach Lowe. Is it just sort of like reading stuff from him and others? Is it podcasts? Is it League Pass? Although League Pass is a horrible product. Like, how do you sort of stay connected when you're on the road so much?
Oh, well, it's really not hard, you know, with technology these days and Twitter, to stay really connected no matter where you are. And the nature of the bands of my job is I just get to think about, you know, the next move, whether that's musically or the next tour or the next poster. And I love sort of living in the world of R. Kells all day, every day. But my release from that is basketball. So actually this weekend I went to we've been home recording actually right now, so we're off the road. But I went to the Raptors game. They lost to Utah. It was very annoying on Friday. Then I also went to the game on Sunday against the Lakers, and they won. It was great. But it's really like one of my favorite things to do to take my mind off the job of being in a band.
Right.
So I go to the NBA Reddit page every day. That is my my go-to like morning newspaper, basically, at this point. And on Twitter, I follow a lot of like the beat writers and a lot of the national guys. So I'm always sort of up to date with what's going on in the league. On Instagram, I follow like a bunch of the teams and players and like you know, the House of Highlights, like that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I also listen to a lot of podcasts. So I love the Zach Lowe podcast, and I listen to Simmons. The Woj podcast is sometimes good. So I'm sort of like just you know, pretty immersed. And I'll say the other thing is I have a message group with a bunch of friends who are equally into basketball called Watch Me Nene. That's their the name. And we just kind of send around NBA gossip that we've pulled from the NBA Reddit page. So I'm pretty locked in for the most part.
So you're not just a Raptors guy then? You're kind of following the whole league?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I mean, the Raptors are my team, but I just love the storyline. Actually, we're in the studio right now, and I was showing the guys the Blake Griffin GIF that he posted last night when they found out he got traded with him in the Will Smith thing. And I posted on my own Twitter. I'm like, the NBA is the best league.
Oh, it rules extremely hard. So you must have experiences with League Pass. And like, League Pass is bad, and it craps out all the time. As a traveling fan, you must have some of the most sort of maybe thoughtful suggestions on how to improve the product. Like, what would you add to League Pass to make your experience as a fan who's often on the road a little more seamless?
You know what? To be honest, I don't have League Pass. I have a very expensive cable package from Bell.
Okay.
I pay a lot of money, but that doesn't necessarily help when I'm on the road. So you know what? I don't have any good suggestions at the moment. I don't like watching on my iPhone. I don't have an iPad. I guess I can watch on my computer when I'm on the road. I just find the main problem is we often are playing or getting ready for a show.
Yeah.
It's hard to kind of pop. If we have a night off though, I'll usually find like a sports bar. That I'm good at yelping sports bars in random cities. I'm like, what's a hipster sports bar that I could find in Cleveland or wherever?
Do you have any experiences of seeing games on the road, like a standout one, like city that you like being at the most, arena that's awesome, certain game that you saw on the road? Like, do you check out games when you're on the road when you have off days?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we've been to a lot of baseball stadiums, actually.
Right.
We probably over half of them. But recently, we had a day off in Cleveland, and we saw the Bucks at Cavs, and Giannis scored 40, and it was like but the Cavs still won, and that was an awesome game. We've been to a bunch of games at Staples. I was actually there a couple weeks ago, not with the band, but with my dad actually, and we went to Staples to see the Clippers and Hawks, and it ended up being like a game one at the buzzer. It was sweet. I went to Pauley Pavilion to see a UCLA Bruins game. Been to Barclays. We've been to a bunch of. Actually, for my birthday, my friends took me on a surprise trip down to Little Caesars Arena, which I highly recommend in Detroit. It's a beautiful new facility. I've been to a Bulls game. I mean, we've been to a lot of stadiums. Actually, though, I'll tell you the one story that sticks out the most is the band was finishing up recording High Noon in 2013, I guess it would have been, and the band flew home because we were in LA, but someone needed to drive the van home with all of our gear.
Right.
So we recruited a couple friends to do kind of a cross-country road trip, and we ended up being in Lawrence, Kansas the night of Andrew Wiggins' home opener for his debut with the Kansas Jayhawks. And so we needed to find a way into the building. So I'm friends with Stephen Brunt, who's a very acclaimed sports writer. Used to be with Globe Mail, Sportsnet now. And I said, could I write a guest bullshit celebrity blog for Sportsnet? and could you look into it? And because it was early in the season, the big teams play against crappy schools that no one's heard of. Mm-hmm. So they're playing Louisiana Monroe, some school that they weren't going to send a reporter down. So I guess Sportsnet needed a guy. So I got press passes and sat courtside for Wiggins' first game. And you could find the column somewhere online.
I just pulled it up right here. I will include the link in the post.
I haven't read it since I wrote it, so I'd probably cringe most of it. So I wouldn't necessarily be proud of it. But as a crafty way to get into the arena, I pulled it off.
What did Wiggins do that night?
Sorry,
was Wiggins impressive that night?
Wiggins was good. I think he was don't quote me on this, but I think he scored 12 or 15 points.
Okay.
He kind of had a Wiggins-esque game. It was maybe a sign of things to come, where he had moments of brilliance but kind of faded into the background at times. It was kind of a standard Wiggins performance.
Fair enough. A couple more for you. You played over the summer, speaking of Canadian basketball players, you played in a celebrity game, the KISS IPF Goodbye charity game with Nick Stauskas over the summer. And I have to ask you, what is your playing style? What's your NBA player comp? And I say NBA player comp, what NBA player are you a dollar store version of? Because no one is actually has anything close to resembling an NBA player's game. But what's your style? Are you a good team player? Are you a gunner?
Sure.
How do you fit into a team?
I've had this conversation before, and I had a good one a couple weeks ago with my friend, who's basically I'm sort of a shoot first sort of point guard.
Okay.
I'm fine at passing, but I don't rebound much. I'm okay on defense if I want to try, but I have pretty good court sense, I think, and my handle's all right. And on the right day, I can be a good shooter. But I have the confidence of a lead singer, if that makes sense. So it's funny though. It's that game was really fun because you got to play with professional athletes. But I play on a Monday night run with a bunch of old dudes in Hamilton, Ontario, and you feel fast because you're the young guy on the court. But we were playing against these guys who a bunch of them had played against college ball. And just, they're so fast and so athletic, and you really feel slow and inadequate. I think I scored a few points, and I had one move where I kind of crossed the dude over, and some people in the arena went, "Whoa!" One of those things. But otherwise, it was a pretty underwhelming performance. But to answer your question, my player comp. Oh, you know who? I think I compare myself to Melo. Mellow.
Okay, lazy Mellow.
On the right night, I can put up a good stat line, but also I can sometimes rebound or play defense if I'm really trying. But you're not going to get that out of me night to night, and that's basically Mellow. Mellow's offensively gifted, but doesn't shoot a totally high percentage, and he holds on to the ball a little too long. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, I was.
He tools to be okay, but doesn't totally fulfill his potential.
Well, I found a potential Raptors comp. Just the way you described your game, maybe 2009-10 Jarrett Jack, where he was actually kind of good. There was confidence there. He had like a few games where he'd ring it up. He had no issue shooting. He shot like 41% from three.
Yeah. George Jack, I feel like, you know, I'm almost 6'1", so when I play against like a normal person, I'm like slightly bigger than average. Jared Jack strikes me as a slightly smaller, kind of feisty kind of guy.
Okay.
But yeah, there's a bunch of mediocre Raptors that you could compare me to, like over the years, like Donyell Marshall or something like that.
Hey, don't besmirch the good name of Donyell Marshall on this podcast.
He had the team record for points in a game, wasn't it? Did he have like 47 or something?
You're the team record for, well, you have the NBA record for threes in a game.
That
once.
Is, yeah.
I wrote about that recently as well because it's incredible. He also led the team in win shares that season,
which
It was like it's like the sixth or seventh best season in Raptors history by win shares. And he played 68 games and got traded there midseason. Yeah, it was quite the year from Donyell. Then he got moved to the bench the next season and it didn't make any sense. Last one for you here. I have like I'm wondering if you think this theory jives at all. I think within a band, you can kind of predict what sport the band member will like based on what, you know, part of the band, what their job in the band is. Like Nick Dyka, people who don't know, he writes about baseball for Baseball Prospectus Toronto. He's mostly just a baseball fan and pretty much baseball only. Like the other sports are kind of not really existent to him compared to baseball. It sounds like basketball is sort of your number one here. And I think that makes sense. It's the most front-facing sport and league, and it's the most front-facing job in a band. I don't know, is like Anthony, the keyboard player, is he like, does he like the intricacies of like NFL play design? Is he an NFL fan? Is like Tim, the drummer, like a MMA fan or something? Like, do you think there's any sort of correlation between job within a band and sport that the person will like?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that it's an interesting theory. I think it depends a little bit also like what their upbringing is,
right,
a little bit too. So Tim is a drummer, and drummers are weird, right? That's a well-known fact. And also hockey goalies are weird,
right?
And Tim was a hockey goalie, so those two things really go hand in hand. Mike and Tony are little Italian guys, so you think they'd be into soccer, but you know what, they're more into like tennis. Both those guys like tennis. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but I think that at times there is a correlation. You know, like basketball is the most expressive sport. You know, you can see their faces. It's like there's so much personal flair, and I think that makes sense for a front guy.
Yeah, I never said it was like a hard and fast proven theory. It's just something I'm working on.
That's like a master's thesis or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I hope no one ever has to write that, but if they do, they can credit me and you with this podcast. Max, man, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're crazy busy recording and everything, but I really appreciate you taking the time out to talk. Do you have anything that people should know about on the horizon?
Well, last thing I'll just tell you is I had an interesting basketball-related night last night. I snuck out of the studio early because Ron Foxcroft invited me to a dinner where Bill Walton was speaking. It was a fundraiser in Hamilton, and Bill Walton flew in just for the gig, and he riffed for like 40 minutes, and Bill Walton is a force of nature, and if you ever have a chance to see him in person or meet him or hear him speak, it was an odyssey, and he's got so much life, and he's such an interesting character. You know, his basketball career is one thing, but he's also a huge music fan. He's pretty politically active, it seems. He's not your typical jock. And so anyway, I saw him last night, and it was very cool.
Is that the Joe Carter dinner?
Joe Carter was there too, and that was a thrill. And Joe talked all about, the 92-93 World Series, as he would. And it was cool. And the coolest thing about sitting with Ron is that he works for the NBA with NBA officials, right, and he evaluates their performances. And so I asked him about the dirt on basically every single player and coach in the league, and it was like the best time of my life. I'm like, what's Blake Griffin like to officiate? Or what was Kobe like? What's MJ's reputation? I just went through basically every single guy and every single coach, and it was so fun.
Max, man, thank you so much for taking the time. Again, is there anything that people should be on the lookout from the Arkells in the next little while here?
Yeah, we're going to be we're announcing some stuff. You know, we're in the studio right now, but there's going to be 2018 is going to be fun. We're going to do a bunch of things. And actually, I'll give a shout out. I produce and co-host a pop culture podcast with a couple friends for Bell Media. Actually, it's called the Mike on Much Podcast. I do it with a couple pals. It's kind of long form interviews with people from the world of music and television. And check it out, because I have a great time doing that on the side.
Max, thanks again, man. Everyone, make sure you check out Mike on Much and stay tuned for what our Kells have cooking this year. And hopefully we can do this again, man.
Yeah, I had a really fun time. This was a refreshing interview from the normal thing I have to do normally. So.
Next time we'll talk all about the music, and I'll ask you all the questions you've been asking a million times before.
Bear me.
Take care, man.